Welcome to Election Connection with me, your host, Ruth Newman. Back at the beginning of March, I traveled to Costa Rica and had the good fortune to visit three forests. One, a dry forest in the Curi Wildlife Refuge, then a cloud forest in Monteverde, and finally a tropical rainforest in a place called Yorkin, which is accessible only by hiking in or traveling 5 miles upriver by canoe from the nearest town of Brotzi. And I had the great honor of staying for 2 nights in a Bribri village, as a result of which I have for you an interview with one of the founders of this village's highly successful ecotourism organization called Stibrapa. And I might remind you that we are in our annual pledge drive, which goes until April the 13th, at which we are throwing a party that is in celebration of being on the air for 7 years. You are all invited to this free event. Stay tuned for details. So here is the interview. This is Ruth Newman, and I'm recording here from an indigenous community called Yorkin in the heart of a tropical rainforest in southeastern Costa Rica. And it's a village of about, correct me if I'm wrong, 400 people, and has succeeded at sustaining a lush tropical forest ecology while interspersing it with a rich diversity of food, including cacao, coffee, rice, corn, bananas, plantain, cassava, papaya, all sorts of green leaves for eating, palm heart, chickens, sugarcane, grapefruit, lemons. So lots of things that they grow right amidst the tropical forest. And they live very isolated. You have to go either upriver or hike in about 5 miles upriver of Brotzi, a town. And so I am here with Bernarda Morales Marin, who is one of the organizers of this community, and also with Leah
Bernhauser,
and she is a translator and also a volunteer who has been working with these people for, 5 years. And I'm very pleased to be with both of you. So, Bernarda, thank you. Gracias. Mm-hmm. And can you describe how this village came about? What is the history of this village?
¿Usted puede decir un poco la historia de...?
No me sé mucho porque... Bueno, la historia de la comunidad que tiene...
This village is... in this spot, the village exists about 300 years. When they had a lot of conflicts with the banana companies, a lot of people also went more up into the mountains and were like a bit more hiding in the mountain areas. But since the problems were reduced, then the people would come back and settle down more in these sites, also lower land mountains.
This was antes del 1910.
This was before 1910.
What were the banana companies doing that made the people feel threatened?
¿Qué era lo que la compañía bananera estaba haciendo que la gente...?
Porque ellos quitaban las tierras de los indígenas, de todo eso del por la banana, para sembrar banana.
They put a lot of pressure on the indigenous people because they wanted their land to plant bananas. Yeah, they took away the land from indigenous people for the banana plantations.
So this was around 1910 that they went into the mountains and hid, and then finally came down. And when they came down, what did they do? Did they form villages?
Antes.
It was before 1910.
Después que se fue la compañía, cuando...
Okay, so the People came back from the mountains like 300 years ago approximately, so this village, then they settled here and formed this village here. This was also because the banana company had big losses due to some floods that happened in the area. So when you go to Bambu, then you will be passing a tunnel in the mountains, and this was still built by the banana company. But then people, like, they gave up on these lands here in the mountain areas, and the indigenous people took over again.
So this area in here was banana plantations for a while before they gave up on it.
Todo lo que es bambú aquí no mucho.
There were no bananas here, but when you're in bambú and all this like very low lands of the Talamanca region, there have been bananas there.
Mucha gente vivieron de nosotros vivieron estuvieron en Panamá.
So the Bibi people are today also living in Panama because they were inhabiting this area here, and then later the government came and brought up this borders, country borders. So now there's about 1,000 Bibis also living in Panama, which, yeah, there was no border before. And if you go into the mountains here, it's just a river that is forming the border. So you can also find villages on the other side of the border.
Yeah, because the ecology does not align with national borders, the ecology of the region.
Yeah.
So explain, Bambú is a town or a village, or what is Bambú? Because we think of Bambú as a plant.
Oh, Bambú is another word for Bratsi. The village Bratsi,
that's
Bambú. Está preguntando qué es Bambú.
Ah, la comunidad. La comunidad de Bratsi.
So you're about 5 miles upriver from Bratsi.
Sí, aquí estamos.
Aquí estamos en Telire. Bratsi y Telire.
There are different districts of the indigenous territory, and Bambú is the village, and Bratsi is the district. So Bambú forms part of Bratsi district, and here Joaquín forms part of Telire district.
I see. But it's all Bribri.
It's all Bribri. It's all Bribri territory, but there are several districts to identify the regions of the territory.
So what happened here in Joaquín to form this organization? How did that happen?
Bueno, la historia hace 34 años tenemos la organización.
This tourism organization has been founded 34 years ago, and it has three main goals. That is environmental protection, to protect all the forests and all the land around them, to help the families economically, and also to increase and support the indigenous culture, because some things are getting lost or have been lost, and they want to raise the importance of their culture again and stop losing their culture.
How did that happen? How did the Bribri get in touch with the development organizations? How did that happen, that they began to work together to maintain the ecology and the culture and the economy?
Bueno, la historia es que nosotros en 1962.
The story begins in 1962, where they have been discriminated by the government. They implemented schools in the region, and the schools were in Spanish only. So with that, they took away their own language and their culture and their style and way of life.
Entonces nosotros nos dimos cuenta.
So 30 years later, in the 1992, in 1992, the three women that organized and founded this organization had the thoughts that the Bribri language and culture had the same value as the Spanish one, that they also have math and science and a lot of knowledge, and that this knowledge has the same value. So they wanted to fight for it.
And these women were Bribri?
Yes.
Y entonces, también en la economía.
So in the 60s, the economy of the village was based on selling cocoa. in general, the Bibishi people were living from nature. The nature could give them everything to feed and build the houses and everything, but together with the schools, there were also other things that they needed, like the clothing and school material, and also some payments for the school. So they, yeah, had to get some incomes, and that was with the cocoa. But this only lasted until the 70s, because in the 70s, the disease, a fungal disease, arrived in this region, which ruined the cocoa production, and it was very low for the next 10 years.
Entonces, por esa razón estamos aquí.
So the other goal was to save or maintain the forests, and when, like in the 90s, nearly nobody spoke Bribri any longer, only the elderly people. But Bernarda had learned to read and write in school, and then she started to compare her culture with what she had learned in school, and she was seeing that for them the forest was very essential and very important, because the forest for them was the supermarket. I don't know how you call the shop where you buy all the building materials, but that shop. And also pharmacy and life, because the forest produces air and holds water for the people. So this goal is also essential of this organization.
Just to remind you that you're listening to Forward Radio on 106.5 FM and we live stream at www.forwardradio.org. We are now in our 7th annual pledge drive, asking you to help support grassroots community radio during these times of unrest and misplaced calls for authoritarianism. Let's do what we can to support independent local media. Go to www.forwardradio.org and click on the link to donate. Also, mark your calendars for a big celebration that's coming up on Saturday, April the 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. We are commemorating 7 years of being on the air with live music, dancing, birthday cake, a silent auction, food vendor discounts, and special guest Charles Booker. You won't want to miss him. Also appearing virtually will be our sister city community radio station, which is in Leeds, England, and it's all happening at the Logan Street Market. Remember the date, Saturday, April 13th at 5 p.m. Go to our website for details at www.forwardradio.org. Now let's get back to an interview which took place in March of 2024 with Bernarda Morales Marin, an elder from the indigenous village of Yorkin, Costa Rica, in the heart of a dense tropical rainforest 5 miles upriver by canoe from the nearest town of Brotzi. Bernarda is an amazing person with an amazing story to tell of how their village survived and overcame exploitation by the banana companies, and how they are now thriving and helping support rainforest ecology. The translator is Leah Bernhauser.
Ay, entonces, nosotros en el 90.
Since in the 70s the cocoa production dropped, people were searching for work outside, so a lot of men would go and work in the banana company. Some families moved there, but sometimes only the men went, and they would also change their way of life. In the banana companies there are a lot of chemicals used, and they would be harmful for the health of the people. People started to have cancer or become infertile, couldn't get children anymore. And also the food changed, because they were eating food produced outside. Mm-hmm. And also the families living here, if only the man had left the village, he would also not work on the land here any longer. So there was nearly no food produced in the village. And the people in the village would also eat all of the food that was produced outside. So the third goal to have some economic, some income, to create some income for the families here is also essential for the organization.
Para nosotros fue muy triste porque...
So it was very sad, and the women that were here in the village, they started to organize and sit together and think about a way how this could become different for their children, so that their children could rely again on their own lands and have food here, because the Biri people were not used to using chemicals, and still today everything that they grow here is grown organically. They don't use chemicals.
Y eso para eso fue entonces cuando.
So when the women then started to organize and come together and build up an organization, they got in touch with another problem, which was that on the one hand the women were very shy and they were not used to leading. They were, yeah, a bit afraid of raising their voice. And on the other hand, the men were used to lead and not used to have women leading and picking up decisions and discussions with them. There was mostly machismo. You also call it machismo?
Machismo.
So there, it took them like 10 years to, yeah, take out all of these debates and raise the discussions inside the families to build up this organization that is right now run by women, but where men and women are equal. So in this time, an organization came here, which is still friends with them today. It's called ANAI, and they came into the region to help the cocoa farmers to improve the production and look for other cash crops that they could sell. And they also found the women here organizing themselves and having those ideas, but having also problems to start something and to organize it properly. And they got into contact with them and they talked a lot with them, and they said, okay, from what we hear, that's your goals. You have these three goals. And they taught them how to, yeah, set up goals and other objectives to follow. And they also brought them into contact with the funders for their project. So the funders that helped with this project for 20 years is the program of little donations by the United Nations. So within this funding, there was the possibility for one woman of the village to go to San Jose and study for 1 year. And it was Bernarda who went to San Jose, and for 1 year she studied tourism, accounting, equal rights,
contabilidad, administration.
Where did she go to study?
To San Jose, to the capital of Costa Rica.
Sí, y ahí donde yo regresé a la comunidad.
So when she came back from her studies to the village, she had a lot of knowledge and new power with her, and she was thinking that tourism was a great option for the village to have some income, to create some income in the village, and that this would be beneficial to help, because they have several things from their own land that they can use for daily life, but they need some additional income. And she also thought that that could be very like beneficial also for visitors coming here, so it would be more like an exchange. And they started to take tourists here like 21 years ago. But it was not only easy, because they had a lot of experiences with discrimination in the past. So the Biri people in general were thinking that non-indigenous people were bad. And when she went to San Jose, she got the experience that not all people are bad. They are also very good persons. So, yeah, the Biri people also needed to adapt a bit to that, to receive visitors, strangers here in their community.
Así como lo fui organizando también.
So she also studied the equal rights of men and women, And when she came back here to the community, she also wanted to implement those more in the organization. And she, in the time, was 24 years old, so she was searching more for the younger people because she knew that they could be convinced and they would be like still willing to adapt to new thoughts. And she was talking with them and also telling that the machismo is nothing from Bribri culture. It's not their own culture, and it wouldn't bring them anywhere if they are just like working apart and saying one is less worthy than the other, but that they needed to work together to build something up. And in the Bribri culture, the women are very important. They're the ones who give the family or the clan to their children, and they are matriarchal.
They're matrilineal.
So the women have, they're like the queens somehow. They're very important. And she talked a lot with the young people to get back towards their culture.
Did she encounter any resistance among the men?
Los hombres mayores no, porque ellos eran muy resistentes.
So, yeah, it was not easy. Especially the older men were not convincible, you can say. They were just saying that the whole project and all these ideas of the women, they were just crazy. It was like they were sticking to a cocoa production and were saying that bringing tourists here wouldn't lead to anything. That also they would bring like bad people here. But Bernarda then mostly went towards the young people or the people her age, saying, okay, we are the new generation of this community, and we are the ones to make choices for our children. And what do you want for your children? Do you want them to die in the banana plantations and have all their life working there with harsh chemicals and everything? And she convinced people, but this wasn't like one day to the other. It was 10 years of discussions and...
10 years. It took 10 years.
And then in the 2000, approximately, the first visitors came here, and as people were saying, yeah, but you're bringing bad people here, and she was saying, no, we are not looking for bad people. We will bring those people here who are interested in culture, who are very interested in nature and environment, and that are really sociable, and that are interested in, helping in the community.
Y hoy tenemos muchos amigos del mundo.
So now they have lots of friends. Now they have a lot of friends in the whole world that are in contact with them and that are coming here as visitors. And they're very happy about that. Right now they have about 2,000 visitors per year that come to the community and exchange with them and spend a day or some days here.
Just to remind you that you're listening to Forward Radio on 106.5 FM, and we live stream at www.forwardradio.org. We are now in our 7th annual pledge drive, asking you to help support grassroots community radio during these times of unrest and misplaced calls for authoritarianism. Let's do what we can to support independent local media. Go to www.forwardradio.org and click on the link to donate. Also, mark your calendars for a big celebration that's coming up on Saturday, April the 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. We are commemorating 7 years of being on the air with live music, dancing, birthday cake, a silent auction, food vendor discounts, and special guest Charles Booker. You won't want to miss him. Also appearing virtually will be our sister city community radio station, which is in Leeds, England, and it's all happening at the Logan Street Market, Remember the date, Saturday, April 13th at 5 p.m. Go to our website for details at www.forwardradio.org. Now let's get back to an interview which took place in March of 2024 with Bernarda Morales Marin, an elder from the indigenous village of Yorkin, Costa Rica, in the heart of a dense tropical rainforest 5 miles upriver by canoe from the nearest town of Brotzi. Bernarda is an amazing person with an amazing story to tell of how their village survived and overcame exploitation by the banana companies, and how they are now thriving and helping support rainforest ecology. The translator is Leah Bernhauser.
I'm also curious to know how you can sustain agriculture inside of a tropical forest. How does that work, that you can have crops among the trees and all the wildlife, and without pesticides, right?
Bueno, para nosotros, ya yo le dije que son supermercados.
So she already told you that the forest is their supermarket also, and that it has vegetables and meat and fruits and a lot of products that you can find there. And this whole agriculture with the forest together works because they don't believe in monoculture. It's always a polyculture. There are always several different things that influence each other and that are grown together. And the big trees benefiting smaller trees and shrubs and vegetables on the ground, and those also benefit the other parts of the vegetation, and also the animals with their manure fertilizing the soil again. So the breweries have always worked in such a style that there was a mixture of crops and they never depleted the soils.
Bueno, la producción de nosotros es con todo lo que hay dentro del bosque.
She explains that the different plants in the forest, crops and also trees and other plants, they help each other, and that for the Bribri people it's very important to maintain the blood of their Mother Earth, and this blood are the soil minerals, so they try to never deplete the minerals of their Mother Earth, so the earth will stay with all its life and all the abundance that it needs to have crops and trees and all this lush rainforest.
And this is your all-volunteer community radio station, WFMP 106.5 FM, during our annual pledge drive with me, your host, Ruth Newman. How about keeping this frequency non-commercial, independent, and engaged with you at the local level? Go to our website, www.forwardradio.org, click on the link, and find out what awesome premiums you could have at different pledge levels. Then come join in the grand celebration of our 7th year on the air. It's all happening Saturday, April the 13th at the Logan Street Market. And that is on Logan Street and St. Catherine. Come hear Charles Booker and our sister city community radio station across the Atlantic. Find out details by going to our website, forwardradio.org. And now let's get back to Bernarda Morales Marin, Bribri elder, and her translator, Leah Bernhauser.
Why are the buildings raised up on tall posts?
Porque, bueno, uno es porque la humedad, que ahora llueve mucho.
One reason why they houses are on posts is because of the humidity. Now there's rain nearly all time of the year, and not like before when they had like more of a rain season and a dry season. So it rains a lot, and this helps them to have, yeah, the rain passing underneath the house. And then also it's cleaner because up there they have then the wooden floor, and the children can play on the ground and everything. There are some houses which are on the ground, which have then just an earth floor, but that's better for adults. You have to like keep your shoes on, and you can't just sit and play on the ground. So they like to be in their houses on posts.
And I might add that shoes must be removed before entering any of the buildings.
Do the children attend school, and what are school subjects as well as subjects unique to Bribri culture? Do they study?
Bueno, lo único diferente de aquí es que son los que ellos.
She says that the only difference between the schools in the rest of Costa Rica and the schools that they have in the indigenous community and the Bribri communities is that they have lectures of the Bribri language, and then the rest is all the same with the other schools. For her or for them, it would be good if they would learn more about their history, their beliefs, the connection to nature, and have more classes more focused on their culture. But for the moment, the only classes they have that are special is Bribri language classes.
I think that this may be an opportune time to switch over to Miriam, who is another Bribri elder in this indigenous village of Yorkin, Costa Rica, which is in the heart of a dense tropical rainforest. And she is going to explain some of Bribri traditions and beliefs. And the translator again is Leah Bernhauser.
Mi nombre es Miriam. Yo quiero contar un poco sobre lo que es mi cultura.
Her name is Miriam, and she wants to tell you a bit about her culture, to share it with you.
Voy a hablarle un poco sobre la.
She wants to tell you about the creation of the earth, of Mother Earth.
Pero voy a empezar diciéndole.
But first of all, she wants to tell you that she is Bribri, that they have their own language and own culture, including dances and traditional instruments. And they also have their own religious part, which forms part of their culture, with all their histories. So, to look at the creation of Earth, God, which in the Bribri culture is called Cebu, created the Earth first as stones, and then he put on this earth a little girl, which was called Iridia.
Por eso para nosotros, la tierra es.
Because of that, the earth for Bribri people is their mother. It's a woman.
Entonces, por eso decimos que.
They say that it's their mother, and when they die, they will go back into earth, and the mother will hold them in their arms.
Pero al principio, cuando Cebu.
But in the beginning, God had to sacrifice Iridia, so this little girl was raised by her grandma, and she told the grandma that she wanted this girl, to sacrifice this girl to create the earth, and the grandma said no, because it was her grandchild, she didn't want to sacrifice her.
Entonces, de todas maneras, Dios tomó a Iridia.
So God still wanted to sacrifice Iridia to create the earth. And for that he made a big party, and he also invited the grandmother and the little girl, and they made a dance, which is a circular dance, and during that dance the girl was on the shoulders of her mother, and during this dance she fell down, and yeah, her mother dropped her.
Entonces, cuando ella cae, todos los que bailaban ahí.
So when she fell down, all the other people that were dancing on her, and they smashed her, so she became the earth.
Entonces, a partir de ahí, para nosotros.
So because of this story, the earth is the mother for all Bribri people. and the blood of this girl became the water that is on earth. So all the rivers that you see, all the water is her blood.
Después Dios lo bendijo.
And on this earth, God could then create all the vegetation that we have around us, everything that we need for food and also to build houses, everything that's needed for the human beings. So all this comes from Iridia, from the Mother Earth.
So how did the Bribri people come about? Do they have a long ancestry? Have they always been in Costa Rica, or do they come from other parts?
And ella quiere saber un poco.
Nosotros somos originarios de acá.
The Bribri people are original from this region. They like a long history, and their ancestors have lived here long before the Spanish people arrived for colonization.
Entonces también tenemos lugares sagrados.
So here in the region they also have holy mountains where they believe that God has been there, Cebu has been there, and created all this world.
Sí, entonces igual como yo le digo a ellos que.
If you want to compare to Christian narrative, Christians, for example, believe that God has been in Israel. So here they have also places where they are sure that Cebu has been there.
Entonces por eso nosotros tenemos.
So they believe in this creation of earth, and also they see Cebu, their god, and everything of the nature that surrounds them. So all these living beings and have a good or great respect. And also in the human beings they see God, one each other.
Y por eso la historia de nosotros dice que cuando.
And they say when Cebu, their god, left them here, he didn't leave anything like on paper, on any written message. All the stories that they know, they're transmitted orally.
Y la misma naturaleza tiene todo.
So back in the time, the nature gave everything to them, and they didn't have like today. The hours, the days, the days of the week, and then months and years and so on, but they were seeing the moon phases and also seasonal changes that gave rhythm to their life.
Por eso para nosotros no hay.
That's why they don't really celebrate birthdays, because they just didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And also like other like days like Christmas, for example, where we really know, okay, this is the date. They don't have special dates like that.
So how do they pass all of these stories on down to their children?
Por eso le decía,
like she already said, it's all passed orally in talks, just like we're doing one right now. And in general, for the Bribris, when they, like they're older people, they have a lot of knowledge and history, and they know it, and they pass it down to their family, and they're really well prepared. And they also have some like traditional jobs where you will be also preparing yourself to do those. For example, the traditional doctors, and this is a bit different from how maybe other people learn their jobs, because normally you know, okay, it will take me 3 years of studies and then I'm done. But for them, they study and prepare, and at some point they know that they're ready, and then they're ready. Doesn't matter if it took 3 years, 6 years, or less, more, it's about being ready.
So do you have ceremonies also that celebrate your relation with plants and the animals? Any kind of celebrations or group gatherings that celebrate what you have here and how you live?
En la cultura ya le digo que no había una fecha.
So as she already explained, there are no special dates, but for sure there are several ceremonies that can be done. For example, thanking nature for a great harvest, or also celebrating when somebody finally is prepared to do, for example, the doctor's job. but it's not anybody that can do a ceremony. There are people that are specially prepared for it, and like her, she's not prepared. She will not put up a ceremony.
Hay ceremonias que son muy muy lindos.
So there are some ceremonies that are really happy and joyful, and others that are really sad. For example, when the child is born, they do a ceremony that will last like a month. They start, and then until the end of the ceremony, a whole month passes. But for sure, there are also ceremonies when somebody dies, and that can be very sad. But at the same time, it's also a somewhat happy ceremony, because they know that the person will now go, or the soul will now go to Cebu, to their God.
You are listening to an interview conducted in the tropical rainforest of southeastern Costa Rica, in the indigenous village of Yorkin, 5 miles upriver by canoe from the nearest town. Now, this is Miriam, one of the elders of this Bribri community, and she's explaining some of Bribri culture. Her words are being translated into English by Leah Bernhauser, one of the two German volunteers that are living there. And this is your all-volunteer community radio station, WFMP 106.5 FM, during our annual pledge drive with me, your host, Ruth Newman. How about keeping this frequency non-commercial, independent, and engaged with you at the local level? Go to our website, www.forwardradio.org, click on the link and find out what awesome premiums you could have at different pledge levels. Then come join in the grand celebration of our 7th year on the air. It's all happening Saturday, April the 13th at the Logan Street Market. And that is on Logan Street and St. Catherine. Come hear Charles Booker and our sister city community radio station across the Atlantic. Find out details by going to our website, forwardradio.org. And now, let's get back to Miriam from Yorkin, Costa Rica, and her translator, Leah Bernhauser, a volunteer from Germany.
Porque en la religión también de nosotros.
She likes to compare her culture also with the Bible, because they, in the Bible it says that there's a good and a bad, and in their culture they also say there's good and bad, but they say it in their own language, and also that there's a God and heaven and hell, and those things are very similar.
Entonces, para nosotros, la única diferencia con la religión es...
She says one really like important difference between the Bible and their beliefs is they say, like in the Bible, they say that the heaven is up there, and they believe that heaven has to be down there, because down in the earth there is the mother that will hold them in her arms, mm-hmm. and up there in the sky there's the sun that will probably burn them.
Entonces, eso es una poca de diferencia que hay.
So their the religion or Christian religion and their beliefs, they're quite similar. There are differences, but that's, for her, it doesn't matter so much. The important thing that is it's to respect it.
What happens if somebody in the community doesn't respect the religion or does something that people disapprove of, don't like? Do they have any way of bringing them back into the community?
Actualmente no, pero nosotros tuvimos nuestro gran jefe.
So right now there's nothing. Back in the times when they still had their king, the last king's name was Antonio Saldaña.
How long ago?
He was killed in the time when the banana companies were, 1910, around about he died. But he was the last king, and he was the one who could like decide about all the people and also put punishments on people that would like strongly misbehave. And some punishments were like cutting the finger or cutting an ear.
Él era como era tenía un poder espiritual.
So he had a really strong spiritual power. He was connected with the earth and also with God. And because of that, he had that right to judge people and tell people what to do, because he was also able to like look. He had like a lot of knowledge and wisdom that was given to him by God. He would be able to look a bit like into the future or have a feeling about what was coming for the future. So before the Spanish people came, he already told that there would be like strangers coming and that people had to be careful.
Entonces a él teníamos que obedecer todo. Después que mataron.
The king had the full authority about the people, so he was the one to be really respected. But there were never many kings. There was always one king and then one to whom he was passing his knowledge. But they were both poisoned, so they both died, and with that they lost this special knowledge and wisdom. And there are still people who hold the clan of the king, but they don't have the wisdom because it was lost with the king.
So now, how do decisions get made? Do women and men form part of the governing body?
Ahora tenemos una asociación de desarrollo.
And now they have a development organization, which works a lot with the Costa Rican rights. So they're the ones in charge a bit of the organization here in the territory, but they're no longer any like punishments or something, only the ones that are also in the Costa Rican laws.
I'm very curious about how they hold the community together, whether because it was a female sacrifice and a mother, whether women hold a higher position in the community.
Tal vez no es que tengamos más poder, sino como
In their society, they're equal. There's not one more important than the other. And looking at the power, she would say maybe it's not about power, but in their history, there's always women that are important. And also for the traditional spiritual jobs that they have, there jobs that are done by men and jobs that are done by women. And it's not only men, but it's equal.
Very good. Muchas gracias.
Con mucho gusto.
That was Miriam, a Bribri elder from the Costa Rican indigenous village of Yorkin, explaining some of Bribri traditions and beliefs. Now we're once again going to return to Bernarda Morales Marin, founder of the ecotourism organization Stibralpa, which is flourishing in the village of Yorkin in a southeastern Costa Rican rainforest. Here first is our translator, Leah Bernhauser.
When tourists come to your village, what will they learn about and see?
Bueno, ellos aprenden cómo nosotros vivimos con la naturaleza.
The people that come here can learn a lot about the connection to nature and also their cultural beliefs and histories. They will learn that the life here is kind of stressless, that they don't have a lot of stress, and that it's very important to live more connected to nature. And they will see a bit about the different beliefs of people, because there are many people from outside that say that the Bribri people are very rich because they have land and they have the nature, and they see the trees as something that they should sell and then get the money out of it and become rich by that. But actually Bribri people say they are rich because they have that nature to live with it, to live within it, and not They won't be rich by selling it. That would be losing this richness of nature.
La comida, que es natural, sin químicos.
The tourists that come here will also get to know the food of the Bribri people. It's very important for them that it's natural food, it's organic, and that there are no chemicals used. So probably this will also increase the consciousness about the food that is consumed. And she says that the longer you stay in this community, you can learn lots and lots of things about the culture and their way of life. It depends how much time you want to stay here. She mentioned that I've been here several times now, and I've stayed here as a volunteer for 1 year in the beginning. So she says that if you have lots of time, you can learn a lot with them. If tourists come here for 1 day, they will learn about the three main goals of the organization. They will get to know that with their stay here, with their visit here, are helping the families economically, and they will have some talks about the history of the organization and the Bribri culture. And then also they will have some insights. They will do some activities. For example, they will do traditional chocolate, the traditional way how Bribri people make their chocolate from the cocoa that is grown here, and other activities that are connected to the Bribri culture and history, such as bow and arrow, to learn about the way how they chased in the past.
I believe Leah meant hunted in the past.
And also how they make their roofs. And they will also get to see this beautiful nature and the abundance that they have around here. So they will take you to the river and you can enjoy that. And probably with that, 1 day is already over, and then the people go back to Bambu by boat down the river.
That was Leah Bernhauser, one of two German volunteers, translating from Spanish to English, something not part of her job description. And she's been translating for Bernarda Morales Marin, one of the founders of Stibraupa, which means artisans in her Bribri language. And this interview was conducted in the village of Yorkin, which is located deep in a Costa Rican tropical rainforest, where organically grown food and dense forest thrive together sustainably. And this is your all-volunteer community radio station, WFMP 106.5 FM, during our annual pledge drive with me, your host, Ruth Newman. How about keeping this frequency non-commercial, independent, and engaged with you at the local level? Go to our website, www.forwardradio.org, click on the link, and find out what awesome premiums you could have at different pledge levels. Then come join in the grand celebration of our 7th year on the air. It's all happening Saturday, April the 13th at the Logan Street Market. And that is on Logan Street and St. Catherine. Come hear Charles Booker and our sister city community radio station across the Atlantic. Find out details by going to our website, forwardradio.org. And now, on with the interview of Bernarda, founder of the ecotourism organization Stibraupa, which is flourishing in the village of Yorkin in a southeastern Costa Rican rainforest. Here first is our translator, Leah Bernhauser.
What is the meaning of Stibraupa? The word Stibraupa is a word from Bribri language, and it means people that do handcrafts, that do arts. where can people find out more about Bribri, your village, and ecotourism? I will cut that down to where can people find out more about your tourism project?
Con la gente que han venido acá en la página web.
She says that you can find out more about their tourism project, the Stibrapa, about Stibrapa in general, if you talk to people who've already been here, if you get in touch with some of the agencies that sent people here. There are several within Costa Rica that offer trips to visit this village, but also they have their own website, Facebook and Instagram account, and also you can directly contact them via email. So you can have a direct contact and booking with them if you go to Stibrapa Joaquin in all of these platforms that I just mentioned.
You can Google Stibrapa, which is spelled S-T-I-B as in Bill, R-A-W-P as in Peter, A. That's Stibrapa.
Okay, eso fue todo. Muchas gracias por su tiempo.
Está bien, gracias a usted también.
She says, thanks to everybody for listening. Thank you to all the people.
That was Leah Bernhauser, and she has been translating for Bernarda Morales Marin, one of the founders of the association Stibrapa, which means artisans, in her Bribri language. My thanks to Bernarda, Miriam, Leah, Paola, who's the other German volunteer, and all of the wonderful people of Joaquin for their gracious hospitality, their beautiful forest village, their great cooking, and I must add here, with no electricity. Everything is done by other means, including cooking, which is done over a fire. And all the plants and animals which populate this thriving community. Thank you. Now, this interview was conducted in the village of Joaquin, which is located deep in a Costa Rican tropical rainforest, where organically grown food and dense forest thrive together sustainably. And you can help sustain this local, all-volunteer community radio station by going to www.forwardradio.org, clicking on the link. There you will find some pretty snazzy premiums at different pledge levels. And then you can also come celebrate with us on Saturday, April the 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Logan Street Market on Logan Street and St. Catherine. And we will have been on the air at that point for 7 straight years. To commemorate this milestone, we'll be serving birthday cake, live music, dancing, a grand silent auction, and food vendors will be offering discounts to partygoers. And don't miss remarks by Charles Booker, who will be stopping by to spur us on. All this is free. So find out more by going to our website, www.forwardradio.org. Thank you for listening to this special edition of Election Connection. This is Ruth Newman, your host. Bye for now.